of the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, February 17th. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling this morning with my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
We've got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis. And last but not least, making the magic happen in the background somewhere today. Cursing up a storm, I guarantee you that. It's JD having some technical difficulties with the stream team, but that's okay. Shout out to all of you for joining us. We're here. We're live. It's fine. Like, comment, subscribe to the No Dunks YouTube channel. Help us get to 50K. I'm already looking past 40K. Let's just get to 50K so Lee can record a really weird, like, country track. Forgot about that. Yeah. What do we call it? Slim Dusty, right? In his honor, I guess, is what we're doing.
Yeah, a rim with no net. Yeah, I'm starting to get a little bit anxious now because it's coming. It's coming. It's not too far away.
So. All right, well, help us get to 50K. Also, check out our weird new show, The Top Shot Hot Boys. We premiered it yesterday, our first episode, maybe our only episode for all we know, but Trey and I.
Yeah, right. The people were going crazy, Skeets. Insane content appreciators out there. Seeing the boys popping some packs digitally.
That's right. We opened some of our own Cool Cats 2 packs, and we pulled some decent cards. Got some Cool Cats, of course, in the mix. So if you want to go check that out, we've been talking up NBA Top Shot for the last couple of weeks. So Trey and I finally decided to just do this fun little silly show. It's only like 15, 20 minutes, so go check it out on YouTube. We didn't turn that into a podcast, because it's like heavily focused on seeing the actual cards, seeing the moments. So go check it out. Drop us a like. Let us know if you want us to do it again. I guess the people do. Is that what you're saying, TK?
The people definitely want us to do it again. They're saying run it back like a pack of top shots. Run it back. And who knows, if you tune into the stream, if you're lucky enough to watch a live episode of the Top Shot Hot Boys, you might get yourself a Darius. Might be a Baisley, might be a Garland, but dude, you're getting a Darius.
Yeah, we gave away, gifted some of our Dariuses yesterday. Shout out to everybody for dropping their Top Shot username in the comments. We just randomly picked whoever we wanted and gave it to them. So they've been gifted, and we'll have to do that again. Tomorrow night, looking ahead here, Thursday, February 18th, join us for our NBA Happy Hour. Yeah, that's back once a week. We fire up the live stream around the halftime of the first game on TNT. Tomorrow, it's Raptors-Bucks. First game of TNT. So, Lee will jump in and say, Homer, even though we won't be talking about the game. But, join us for that. Always a blast. We, answer some of your questions, and we just hang, man. That's what we do. Email us your questions and comments for our next Beach Steppin' podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com. New Beach Steppin' coming up today. So you probably won't make it in time to get your questions or your comments in today's Beach Steppin'. 3 p.m. Eastern, live on YouTube. That one's flipped into a podcast. But look ahead to next week. Get ahead of the curve and get those cues in. And finally, new, immaculate items always available for sale at nodunks.com. So go grab yourself a sweet No Dunks hoodie or t-shirt or the coffee mug or the shorts, whatever. I got my Rob Lowe on today.
NBA fan of the league.
Yeah. Now, you can't buy this in the No Dunk store. I just wanted to show you guys because I just love the league. I'm like a real Lee Ellis here this morning. I mean, we had some incredible performances, Lee. Like, the stars in this league just left and right every night coming through. So let's get into it. The first game we'll start with here, James Harden. He's a star. He scored 38 points. The Nets came back from 24 down. They were down 8 with a couple minutes to go. Stunned the Suns, 128-124. Lee, take it away. Where you want to go with this one?
Lots of good things to take out of this one for Brooklyn. You mentioned James Harden. He was great, but he certainly didn't do this one by himself. Not even in that fourth quarter. In fact, he was sitting on the bench when the Nets sort of reserves, I guess, if you like, kept them in the game. There was Joe Harris, Tyler Johnson, Jeff Green, of course. He's continuing his resurgent season. But then James Harden came out like you would like your superstar to do and basically closed the game out and overcame that enormous deficit that they faced against the Phoenix Suns. And pulled off a big victory because Kevin Durant was obviously not playing. He's out for at least another game or so here. And Kyrie Irving was also a late scratch. So it was James Harden sort of almost going back to his Rockets days there, surrounded by role players. Mm-hmm. And they pulled it off. And they gave up 75 points in the first half. It looked like this was one of those games where it's like, see, the Nets need the big three or else they're just not really that good, especially going up against a red-hot Phoenix Suns team. But they turned the tables in that second half. So this one, I mean, this may have been James Harden's best individual performance since becoming a Net, I think, because he certainly looked like he was in control of that one. And the Nets could have given up several times in this game, because it's not like, I don't think the Phoenix Suns played badly. I certainly don't think they quit or anything like that. The Nets just got hot and sort of chipped away at that lead, and then finished it off in those closing minutes. And it was a big step back three, or not really a step back, but a big three from James Harden that put the Nets up, and then they finished it off. So very impressive victory by Brooklyn. And I will say, if you're the Phoenix Suns, there's usually no such thing as a good loss, but this one could be one that really helps them understand that if you are a playoff team in the Western Conference, you know, there's no easy nights, there's no easy games. And they had a big lead. You know, they were looking comfortable. You could have, the Nets on a back-to-back as well. You could have quite easily sort of thought that the Suns think maybe the Nets will just sort of, you know, roll over in the second half. But that didn't happen. So for Phoenix to understand, like, you've got to bring it every night. Even if you're playing well, you're at home, you've got the team where you want them, but you couldn't finish it off. So I think they can learn a lot from this. And I hope they will, because, you know, Phoenix will make the playoffs this season. But this was almost like a playoff game in that sense, that they have to understand that winning is hard when you haven't been in that situation before. Obviously Chris Paul has, mm-hmm. but the younger guys, the DeAndre Ayton and the Devin Booker, the two younger stars, this one to them could be one that helps them in the long run. So fun game, actually a good second half especially, mm-hmm. and very impressed with how Brooklyn pulled this victory off.
Yeah, Steve Nash after the game, Trey, you know, I know you love this. All vibes in the locker room right now.
It's all vibes in there.
Guys are rightfully excited. It's great for morale. Nash talking about, you know, not having KD and Kyrie and coming back from 24. That's a massive comeback against a really good Phoenix Suns team.
Yeah, it was a great night for the Nets, no doubt about it. They kind of answered a lot of the questions that people had about them once the James Harden trade went down. Kyrie Irving shows up with a walking stick, and instantly the vibes were great. It was great all night. That was a question, right? How's the chemistry going to be with this team bringing in James Harden alongside Kyrie and KD? Is there going to be enough ball to go around? Are they going to be happy sharing the spotlight with each other? Last night they certainly did. Kyrie and KD were 100% into the game despite the fact that they weren't playing up there cheering, watching the comeback come along. Another question, do the Nets have depth? They did last night. They scored 128 on a top five defense without two of their big guns. Tyler Johnson, an incredible game, hitting the threes, a low-key revenge game against the Suns. I love it. Five threes. Landry Shamet, three threes, a huge stop on Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Late. And Jeff Green was obviously great again. The pick and roll with James Harden there at the end was just roasting DeAndre Ayton. One time it was James Harden getting a layup. The next time down, it was Jeff Green getting a layup. That's going to be a problem for the Suns in the future. If you see that you can exploit Ayton like that out there on the perimeter playing pick and roll defense, that's going to come back time and time again come playoff time. And the last thing is that the Nets don't have any defense, but they held the Suns, a great scoring team with two fourth quarter killers in Devin Booker and Chris Paul. They didn't score for the last 2 minutes and 48 seconds of this game. Mm-hmm. Great stuff from Brooklyn to really dig in defensively. Like I said, Landry Shamet was doing a great job on Booker. There's no question that the vibes were incredible last night because the Nets did exactly what they needed to do to get a win there in the second half. It looked like it was going to be a cakewalk for the Suns, but Brooklyn said, we got the walking stick. We got the vibes. We're all head coaches here, and it's working out.
Do they still play in the Talking Stick Resort in Phoenix? I don't think it's been renamed. Is it still that?
It's the Phoenix Suns Arena now.
Oh, yeah, they got rid of that, did they? Okay, yeah, but Kyrie did have the walking stick. Awesome look. You brought up the DeAndre Ayton sort of problem there. I'm interested to get your take, Lee. Like Trey said, they went at him, man. They put the young big guy, who's improved defensively from where he was when he first came into the league. He's gotten better, no doubt. But, man, I mean, difficult for any big guy to try and slow Harden in a pick-and-roll situation, but, when it was Jeff Green also cooking him, like, that is a bit of an issue that they're going to try and figure out, or going to have to figure out, if you get into a playoff series and the coach is smart enough on the other side to go, let's just go at that every single time. We put him in every single time, and he may struggle with it. What did you see in what Trey was alluding to there?
Yeah, I think, again, if you look at where he's come from to where he is now, he has improved, but he's still got so much work to do because, again, if you have a weakness and they are a good defense, to someone like James Harden will find that and pick it apart nonstop. So mm-hmm. that, you know, you're going up against a guy who's a fantastic pick and roll player and just exploited him every time. But again, I think for DeAndre Ayton, the important thing here is for him, he's grown, he's improving his game all around. But now, there's as the Suns start winning as well, teams are starting to focus on them a bit more, starting to scout him out. So he has to improve on it. He's a young player. He came into the league and he couldn't play defense at all. So now you expect him to be good on both ends of the floor. It takes a little bit of time. But again, games like last night can be good for the Suns in the long run, I think, because it's like, listen, this is what teams are going to look for now. That's a weakness. They're going to go at you. Work hard, get better. I don't really know what else you can do. You know, you've got to improve your defensive awareness and your defensive presence. But other than that, it's sometimes just repetition and experience in the league. You know, like some guys, it just takes a while when you're a big guy. So I still think there's more positives out of this game here for Phoenix than just the fact that they did blow a big lead. But again, they're a team that is improving. And this is now the sort of caliber that teams are coming up. No one's looking at the Suns now thinking like they're the same team they were a season or so ago, where it's like you know you're going to be able to knock this team off. Mm-hmm. They've got the experience in Chris Paul there, and they've got some other players who are playing well. But DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker are the two guys that really have to step up. So overall, he's got to improve his defense, but it's going to take time.
James Harden is averaging 24.5 points per game. He leads the league in assists, 11.3, 7.3 boards, playing a ton of minutes. I think he leads the league, actually, in minutes per game at 37.6. Percentages, 48 from the floor, 38 from three, and nearly 90 from the line. I'm actually thankful that James Harden completely, mailed it in Houston and sort of pouted his way out of there. Otherwise, we would have to have him in our MVP conversation as well, too. These are really, really good numbers. But there's like no chance, right, Trey, for him to get sort of any love, any votes from the media, no matter what he does for the rest of the year because of what happened. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I mean, it was not a good look. But my God, the guy is pretty damn special still. And he's usually a top two finisher in MVP as it is. But he's not there this year, at least, right?
Obviously not. I mean, the biggest honors he's going to get this year are maybe starting the All-Star game. You know, I think coaches could still put him in as the starter because, like you're saying, the guy's an MVP candidate. He's not going to be in the mix at all for MVP this year. If you listen to Zach Lowe and Kevin Arnovitz, they're basically saying, sorry, the beginning of the season counts too. Pouting your way out of Houston counts too, which honestly it does. But he could certainly be an all-star starter. He's still going to be all NBA, second team at the absolute worst. James Harden is incredible, and that's why I think it's funny the idea that the Nets don't have depth, because they can be missing two of these Hall of Fame players in Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. They're still running out a guy who is used to carrying a team of role players to a victory over a Western Conference playoff team. I mean, the Suns, they're not challenging for a title this year. It's going to be awesome if they make the playoffs. It's been a long time, but they're still a playoff team. And, you know, the Nets just looked great last night. And it's because Harden is an incredible offensive player, and he's doing a little bit more defensively, and he's doing a great job of keeping his teammates involved in Brooklyn, which then energizes them to play offense, to play defense, to give up their body on the other end. It's looked good so far. Certainly the Nets will hit a bad patch at some point where they lose 4 of 6 or something like that, and they have everybody healthy, and then maybe we'll be talking, how's this going to work out? But on a night like last night, it looks perfect.
Harden helping with the good vibes there right now in Brooklyn. All right, our next game, Damian Lillard scores 31 as the Blazers top the Thunder 115-104. Trey, big takeaway.
Well, Lillard was magnificent. The Blazers have won 5 games straight. But the big news, Skeetsy Enes Kanter had a big rebounding game. JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Enes Kanter had 21 rebounds. That's a lot of roast beef. We were in a beef drought. Thanks for the beef. No dunks. We love roast beef, which is rebounds.
Aw, yeah. Aw, yeah. Another hot sizzling beef from Enes Kanter, a theatrical beef, I would say, from him. A lot of flat-footed rebounds for Kanter. A lot of grabbing his own misses, but this guy is hilarious to watch rebound. Everybody's got their own style. And Kanter, to me, is comical, but I'll give you a little quick beach tease here, Skeets. Listen to Beach Steppin' later to go deep on beef, talking a whole bunch about rebounding. People had a question, we gotta answer it. That's enough rebounding talk for right now, because the rest of the game was pretty good too. Blazers got up big early, but first half leads, they don't mean anything. Suns came back. They took a lead, but then it was Damian Lillard time. You know, he's got a spot at the MVP table. 31 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. He scored 12 points in the last 4 minutes. I was watching it this morning with Isla and Ada. Isla looked up and she's like, why does this keep happening? Because it was Damian Lillard in the pick and roll, just slicing through the Thunder defense. Sometimes he was scoring, sometimes it was a step back, sometimes it was a pop to the corner for a three-pointer. The guy was absolutely magnificent. 5 straight wins for the Blazers. They're 10-5 since losing Yusuf Nurkic and CJ McCollum. Lee, you can't cut out Damian Lillard. This is a man who said, uh-oh, the Blazers, Lillard, not going to be able to do it. Guess what? He can do it.
Yeah, and some of those victories have been over some good teams as well in this last little burst. Damian Lillard is an incredible player because, you know, we know that he's clutch, no question about that. But he's not a super melodramatic guy out there. He stays in that zone. He stays focused. You know, games tend to be close, but when he's got the ball and he's got the game in his hands at the end, you're always going to back Lillard. You just always are because he's just delivered so much. So the good thing is CJ McCollum should be back pretty soon. And yeah, they somehow they've snuck up to fourth in the Western Conference there, 7-10. Still a good 3 games back of the Clippers, but they're in the mix there now with the Suns and the Spurs and the Nuggets. But I would love to see Damian Lillard just take the Blazers and keep them in the fourth spot in the Western Conference. I think that would be great because he's such a great guy to watch. He's so fun to watch. And, you know, he just continues to hit those shots. I mean, it's...
Is he at the top of your list, Lee, if I were to ask you, tie game or you're down 1, 10 seconds to go, you have the ball. Who do you want taking that shot? You know, that classic cue you see on Instagram posts every second day. Is Lillard your answer? Is it, of course, Steph. LeBron or Steph?
Yeah. I mean, there's no bad answers out there. You know, when people put up those polls, like one second ago, who do you want it in hands? Like Ray Allen, it's Steph, it's Damian Lillard. I mean, it doesn't matter. All of them hit huge shots. But Lillard, like I say, he just has that ability to just be like, I'm getting my shot off here and it's going. Who was it against the other night? I can't remember who they played a couple of nights ago, but he did the same thing. Was it the... No, not the Bulls. Anyway, he did the same thing. He just sort of stepped into that shot, hit it, and it was just like unstoppable. He's so much fun to watch, but he doesn't feel like he's in the MVP conversation as much as the other guys are.
He's coming, though. He's coming.
If they keep winning,
I started noticing it over the last couple of days. It's like, oh, yeah. here comes the MVP.
I just feel they have to keep winning. That's a thing with him. I mean, everyone has to have a good record. We've talked about that. But I sort of felt when McCollum and Nurkic went down, so I guess too much now. It's too much of a load to carry. But he's proving me wrong, which is great. I love it.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing, though, is like a guy like Luka falling out a little bit of the MVP conversation because of the Dallas Mavericks record and stuff like that, not because of what he's doing or not doing, just because they're like 13-15. Whereas, of course, like you said, the Blazers continue to win. They go on this run. They're 17-10 without their main guys, their other main guys, and McCollum and Nurkic and stuff like that, and Zach Collins still. That's where it's happening. Like Lillard's, he's taking Luka's chair here pretty soon, or at least a couple other guys that are in the conversation at that table.
And
rightfully so. I mean, he was my MVP coming into the season, so I'm loving this. I don't want to jinx anything. I just want to ride this Lillard wave right now.
In fact, it was the Mavericks the other night when he broke
Mavericks,
the tie. It was 116 all, and he hit that step
good
back
call.
Through with about 30 seconds ago. So not only is he taking Luka's lunch on the court, he's taking it in the MVP table as well. So.
He's actually taking his food from the MVP table. My goodness.
Wait, are you saying that the MVP table is for lunch? I assumed it was a dinner? Like a swanky dinner.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it a late lunch? Maybe it's a late lunch.
The game? Okay, I like that, actually.
Wow, but if it's going to be difficult to be a late lunch, because I thought, we were at a really nice restaurant, private room, you know. Those usually close around. They're closed from lunch to dinner time. So that's good. But I guess, they got that money. They're opening it up for them. Maybe that private room. I don't know. All right. I thought it was always dinner, too, but Lee says maybe it's a late lunch.
A late lunch.
Okay. Yeah, Lillard's there, though. No doubt. Special, special player. And this is what I mean. Like, you have Harden doing what he's doing last night. You have Lillard doing what he's doing. And then, I'll keep it going here, Zion Williamson. Yeah, Zion already, sort of in the mix with these guys. Special, special player. A force inside last night. Again, Pelicans kill the Grizzlies, as they always seem to do. I know Chris Vernon was going crazy on Twitter. Pelicans just have the Grizzlies number for whatever reason. 144-113 was the victory, and Zion, another 30-plus point game, 13-16 from the field last night, 7 boards, 6 assists. That's nice, too, become a bit more of a playmaker. Just special stuff here, Trey. Look, we had a lot of fun joking earlier in the year about the NBA trying to shove Zion down our throats with the highlights that weren't all that special. Who cares? Forget all that. This guy, 30-plus points now 3 times while shooting 80% or better from the field. It feels like these are becoming like regular normal box scores for Zion, this like 30-point game with like 2 missed shots, right? I mean, it's happened a handful of times now.
He's awesome. He's unstoppable. I told you January 29th, I think I'm going to have to stand Zion Williamson for the All-Star game here because he was starting to kick up his activity. Mm-hmm. He was starting to get these 20-point games, but the guy has been unreal lately. He's scoring like Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kevin McHale, and barely not Shaq. If you saw last night, he was at like, what, 29 points per game, but 59.9% shooting. So Shaq barely doesn't make the cut for these Zion accomplishments. But I heard Stan Van Gundy say that Zion isn't a big, despite the fact that you look at him, you're like, that guy is no doubt about it. Maybe a small ball 5. Maybe he's a big. He's actually a wing who can post up. And that really unlocked things for me, the way I look at Zion. It feels like it sort of unlocked things for Zion, too, because like you're saying, he's making a bunch more plays off the dribble now. He's coming at you rather than posting up every single time. He's bringing the ball up the court. He has 51 assists in his last 11 games. He had 50 assists in his entire rookie season, 24 games, when Skeets was hating on this guy, saying he has no highlights, and now he's trying to move past this take, which may go down as the worst take in No Dunks history. I feel bad for Skeets, because Zion's going to make the All-Star team before Ja Morant, and I know he's dug in on Ja Morant.
Well, that's funny you said that, because the best highlight from the game was Ja Morant.
When they were down 20, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying. My take was never Zion Williamson wasn't going to be an All-Star. The take was about a highlight specifically, and Zion even liked that Ja Morant dunk, but you're right, they were getting hammered, and they owned them. The Pelicans just owned the Grizzlies. It's really, really weird. Bad news from this one, too, Lee. J.J. Redick missed his first free throw of the season. Ending a string of
Brian Anderson, straight. Wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
On the call.
Yeah. So I'm sorry about that. I know you love a free throw streak.
I do. This was another fun game to watch. And just quickly on Zion, he hit another 3 last night. He's hit a couple this season, which is good. Like, he doesn't shoot them all that often, but he stepped into one last night, knocked it down, only took the 1. But he has got an ability to just float through the air. Like, it's incredible for someone that big and that heavy that he can just get up there and just sort of cruise through without anyone getting near him. Ja Morant, on the other hand, I don't think he makes the same basket 2 times in a row. He's falling, he's stumbling, he flips the ball up. It's almost like he's got a Tony Parker sort of floater in the lane that doesn't quite look like Tony Parker, but he gets in there and he almost doesn't know what to do. But great, impressive win here from the Pelicans. And is there something there? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I believe in the Pelicans just yet. But certainly it's
good to
see.
But what about Trey's point about Zion being an all-star? Like, I think that's fair. Like, has he inched ahead of Brandon Ingram if you are picking a Pelicans all-star? Because we're not getting 2 Pelicans all-stars.
No, we're definitely not. That's a great one. I certainly think Brandon Ingram started the season much better. Mm-hmm. But Zion has started to get a little bit more traction in the last few weeks, probably. I'm not sure who they get. I'm not sure. I'll probably go Ingram just because a little bit more of, he's been there. He was 1 last year and he started off great. But this is the last year we don't see Zion if he doesn't make it in the All-Star team. He's going to be there and going to go on a long run because he's incredible. And the NBA certainly wants him in there. Yeah, I wonder if he's going to be in the dunk contest or anything at the...
I mean, look, that was always the rumored when they were rookies before injuries and stuff like that, that Zion and Ja Morant were going to be in Chicago. But now we got the no fans.
There's no rookie sort of sophomore, whatever that game was.
No.
Oh, no, it's the internationals versus America.
No.
Yeah.
Well, not yet. I don't think we're going to get that one. But man, oh my God.
Because you would think the NBA would want him there at that weekend.
I think he's going to be there. I think Trey's right. I saw a task talking about it on What You Need to Know. Yeah, I think he is going to get selected and deserve it. I mean, these are crazy things he's putting up here, numbers. It would be a no-brainer if the Pelicans had a better record, but they still even have time to sort of get around 500, get right back in the mix. You know, that's not implausible. So I think he's there. I think the coaches ultimately do select him. And I think if I were picking between the two, I like it like this for the Pelicans, by the way. I want Zion to be the star, and I want Brandon Ingram to have like a really solid game that he had last night.
Yeah.
He was contributing. Like, he wasn't like a zero by any means, but
He's been great for a long time for them.
Absolutely.
He continues to perform.
Absolutely. Josh Hart continues to play well off the bench for them and stuff like that. And Lonzo is a hell of a bellwether for this team. It's like, what type of Lonzo are you getting? Oh, you're getting good Lonzo tonight? Ooh, I like the Pelicans' chances. But yeah, I would, if I was betting man, I'd say Zion does make it. And I think a part of that, and I brought this up the other day with the AD injury, that might help his chances too, right? Especially a big, likely not playing in the game. We don't know that for sure with Anthony Davis, but that opens up a spot. And sometimes the coaches go, well, big is down, so let's replace him with another big. And Zion Williamson is definitely big. Though, like Trey says, you look at him a little different. Guy. Maybe he's not a five. Yeah, he's a big, small guy. That's what he is. So, yep, I'm with you, Trey. I think he will be in there. And yeah, he's going to beat Ja Morant to the game. I mean, I love these two going at it. I mean, I hope we just see this for a decade. I hope they're on these teams for a decade, if I'm being honest, and they're battling.
Could they be the next Magic and Bird?
Wow.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but the guys played together on an AAU team in high school, as you heard 50,000 times on the broadcast last night. Obviously, they're still buddies. They are, you know, you saw Zion cheering for Ja Morant's dunk before he realized, oh, wait, that's not my team. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, we're not in AAU anymore. So they're both incredible players who seem to have... I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the Pelicans? It feels like they're going to be, their franchise is going to be pointing the right way. It felt like that with Anthony Davis as well. But at the very least, you're seeing the impact that Zion can have. We've already seen the impact that Ja can have.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys who are going to be leading their teams in the same conference. That's different. They're not going to be meeting in the finals, but hopefully we at least get some playoff series between these two the next.
Yeah. Just actually, I'm just looking at those fan returns too from the Western Conference. And there's actually not a ton of competition there in that front court. I mean, Paul George is going to make it, I think, even though he's out injured right now. But then in terms of just the votes of the front court here, you've got obviously Anthony Davis there. Then you've got Wiggins, Christian Wood, Ingram, and Carmelo Anthony. And just looking down the like at the teams there, I mean, the Blazers aren't going to get a forward. The Spurs, I mean, DeRozan, I guess, is possible there. But you know, no, I think Zion's probably in over him. Mm-hmm. The Nuggets are going to get Jokic, but that'll be about it. Draymond Green, I doubt it. I doubt he gets in. And then you got, you know, Porzingis won't make it. Harrison Barnes won't make it. So, yeah, actually, on second thought, I think Zion is. I think Zion is
back, baby.
And Ingram might actually get in too. Just
goodness. You're thinking both of them now.
Possibly. It's possible because it just doesn't look like it's super deep at that position in the front court in the West right now.
Okay, yeah, all the love is for the guards in the West. You're sort of not wrong about that. All right, the final games from last night. I'll just list the other three games because we had one postponed. And sending our best to everybody in Texas. Anybody in America right now getting blasted with this this snow. I feel like in Georgia here, we're like one of the rare spots in this country that is not like, you know, in a deep, deep freeze. Even though it got very cold here, of course, we're not getting killed with snow and power dropping. But I hope everyone stay safe. LeBron and the Lakers fend off the Wolves 112-104. Classic Lakers victory there. Anthony Edwards good, though. Celtics snapped a losing streak with the 112-99 win over the Nuggets, despite Jokic having a monster game. And Campazzo getting the start there, Leland, played really well. Scalabrine was loving him on the broadcast. I watched a lot of that one. Oh, my God. And the Raptors beat the Bucks 124-113, despite losing Lowry in that one to a bit of an ankle injury. OG was back, though I can't contractually talk about that game much. But of those three, is there anything that jumps out to either of you guys that you were dipping into last night when you were bouncing around these games, Lee?
Does Mike Budenholzer survive this season? The way things are going.
Oh, boy. Hey, hold on. Giannis said don't panic. Okay? Now you're panicking. Giannis came out after their fourth straight loss.
Yes.
And said, don't panic. Okay? We have no Drew Holiday. The Raptors are obviously a decent team. But you're panicking, Lee.
I'm not panicking, but it is four straight losses.
You're panicking. I can hear it in your voice.
And they lost to the Thunder. It was their last loss before last night against the Raptors there. They're 16-12.
Mm-hmm.
We know in the playoffs, you know, Budenholzer's that's his weakness.
Yeah. We were surprised he was still there, mate.
I know. But once he was there. And once Giannis signed, it was like, okay, well, this is where they're going for the rest of this season. But I just wonder.
Well, what would it take? Like just a this losing streak to continue and get to like out of hand and ten losses in a row, and they're like, well, we got to do something.
I mean, they play the Raptors again tomorrow night. Yeah. And maybe Larry plays, maybe he doesn't. I'm still not sure about Drew Holiday when he's back. I mean, he's missing Drew Holiday, but everyone's dealing with some sort of loss at the moment. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if the Bucks decide, listen, this season's getting away from us a little bit, you know, we maybe want to make a change now. But again, because Giannis did sign that contract, they have a little bit of a safety net there. It's not like we've got to make sure we keep Giannis happy, you know, specifically this season. But I don't know.
The Bucks are doing it perfectly because the Bucks have a dominant regular season. We all get super excited. They're an elite team on both ends. And then they get to the playoffs and they obviously get figured out by whatever team, be it the Heat or the Raptors or whoever wins a bunch of games off them. And then they're out. They flipped it around. We talked about the Jazz. Hey, don't play too well too early. Well, the Bucks are taking that to heart. They're like, all right, we'll stop doing that. We'll play better come the playoffs. I agree with you, Lee. I mean, I was shocked that he was still there, but I think that all came down to Giannis, if we're being honest, that he still believed in him, still liked him, still saw obviously a path to success. And Giannis had to have given them the okay to, you know, continue with him, or they could have moved on. And we'll see. But yeah, he says not to panic. Trey, are you panicking at all about the Bucks? Or are they playing it cool here? They're doing the right thing.
They're playing it cool, man. I'm not panicking because, yeah, like you're saying, Skeets, we've said almost the entire season, doesn't matter what the Bucks do in the regular season. All that matters is the playoffs. You got to keep that same energy when they're struggling because they're struggling right now. There's no doubt about it. But it seems unlikely that in a season with championship aspirations, that they would change course midstream. Because what are they going to do? Bring in a new coach? Doubtful. They're going to call up Vin Baker or Darvin Ham? I would love to see it. But Baker and Ham, wow, they got a lot of food going on that bench there. Popping a bud with Mike, having a ham, bacon, some pizza, good stuff. But I don't think they're going to change course in the middle of the season when they're trying to win a championship. Obviously, they brought in Jrue Holiday. They re-signed Giannis. It's important to the Bucks to get to the championship or at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals, if not the Finals. After the season, though, I think you're certainly talking again, and that's going to be the case depending on what happens come playoff time.
If the Bucks go down in the second round again, Budenholzer's gone. You can lock that in. They have plans to obviously go much deeper than that, and he would have to be the fall guy. The good thing with the Bucks, despite this losing streak, to compare them again to the Jazz of last year, Mike Conley came in. We got all excited last year, right? We're like, oh, this is awesome. Like, what an addition. And Mike Conley struggled, you know, for whatever reason. Injuries, trying to find that new role with the Utah Jazz, trying to fit in there with other stars around him. I don't think we can really say the same with Jrue Holiday. You know, before the injury, Lee, Jrue Holiday was playing really well. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking making like a hell of a lot of sense for that team. There wasn't like this long sort of figuring it out sort of process. It was like, oh, yeah, it felt like Jrue Holiday just played for the Bucks for the last couple of years. Again, before the injury. So that to me is a positive. He's very important, of course, on both ends for them. So, you know, Middleton, again, I can't talk about the Raptors until they're back to 500 or they make a trade. But they did a great job of, you know, shutting down Middleton last night, who has had a phenomenal season. I mean, we were all saying he's an all-star lock. He might be all NBA for crying out loud. So I'm not too worried. I'm not.
Yeah, history's repeating a little bit. You know, the Hawks, when he was there, had that incredible season, the 60-22. Then I think they only won 48 the next season. And it just sort of, it's like Bud's got like a really good sort of year or two there where he can get things effective. And the Bucks basketball they played, you know, in the last two seasons during the regular season was incredible. But it just seems that they're sort of going down a similar Bud path here. So They need to get back on track, though, you know.
Can you please drink a Bud on tomorrow night's happy hour? Please,
Bud pass.
Please, for me, crack a Bud during happy hour, especially with the Raptors-Bucks game on.
Come on, you know I can't lower myself to walk into a, you know, I walk into the bottle shop and, you know, they know me in there. You know, they know I'm getting they know I'm getting the Lefes or the Peronis, you know, something a little bit more.
Oh, you would blow their mind if you just pick up a pack of Bud Light.
Especially when you go in and you get one of those like massive cans, you know, the
battery.
Yeah, of Bud, and I'm like, God, who would want to drink all this? You know,
not you. We know that. What will you be drinking tomorrow night then? Tease me. Have you had a drink during happy hour?
I'm actually out of beer at the moment, but I'll get some red wine, so I might have a little glass of Cabernet Sauvignon. I think JD's been drinking the red wine on the stream, so
he's had it a couple times. Yeah,
yeah. I might have a little sip of that.
He's had some Guinness too.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, we have some news here just to touch on. Guys, first up, Timberwolves guard D'Angelo Russell will undergo arthroscopic surgery today to remove a loose body in his left knee and is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Russell's not having a great year, averaging under 20 points per game, about 5 assists in the 20 games he did play for the Western Conference Warriors Wolves, who are 7-21. My question off of this, Trey, it's not a kind question, but has anyone had a more disappointing season than D'Angelo Russell that you can think of?
Only guy that I would certainly have ahead of D'Angelo Russell, if we're talking disappointing seasons, would be Russell Westbrook. Mm. He has just not looked great, and that's a large part of the reason why the Wizards have had a poor season, because to me, they should not be the worst team in the league or one of the three worst teams in the league if you got a guy averaging 35 points a game. So, yeah, I think Westbrook is a little bit more disappointing, but I think D'Angelo Russell might be having the most anonymous season in the NBA. He's been fine. Like you're saying, the stats, they're not great, but they're not terrible. He's hit some game winners, but he really just seems like a guy right now. Wolves haven't had a chance this season, basically due to COVID, but Russell hasn't really given them a chance to outperform the low expectations they have. Lucky for the Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards is straight up balling right now.
Yep.
Since he's been a starter, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, pretty decent percentages, 44 from the field, 36 from three. They're 3-8. Obviously, they're not a good team, but he is looking all right. He had a career high 28 last night. He was smiling after hitting one in LeBron's face. Seems to have quite a personality in post-game interviews. If he wasn't having a great season, it would be pretty bad there in Minnesota, because we'd be talking a whole bunch about LaMelo Ball regrets, because a big part of the reason that the Timberwolves didn't draft LaMelo was because they already had D'Angelo Russell there.
Yeah.
Obviously, Russell and Towns are close friends. That was the big deal that was consummated the previous season with the Warriors. Hard to remember D'Angelo Russell playing with the Warriors. He had a 52-point game, I think, though, right? Something
D'Angelo?
Like that. Warriors. Yeah, so that was the big deal last year. We were waiting to see maybe Towns and Russell can put something together, at least offensively. Obviously, Towns hasn't been able to be on the court for the majority of this season, which is submarine the Timberwolves' chances, really, but Russell hasn't picked him up, and now you're thinking, wow, they could have had LaMelo Ball. If they didn't have Edwards, if he wasn't looking like a success story, then, you know, I think Minnesota would be pretty upset, but at least Edwards is balling, and, you know, it's looking like another good draft pick for Timberwolves fans again.
Yeah, at least you're right about him playing well, and that was fun. Can't wait for that Top Shot moment. Edwards hitting the three over LeBron.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, that'll be a good one. But I'll ask the same question to you, Lee. Has anyone disappointed more than D'Angelo Russell? And you'd have to fact check me on this. Trey said the whole thing of like him coming to play with Karl Anthony Towns. They just haven't played together.
Yeah.
I think they played 5 games total.
Well, yeah, that may be right.
That's
because
crazy.
Towns has missed a ton of games.
Yeah.
Ironically, D'Angelo's 52-point game came against the Timberwolves in Minnesota last season. So,
maybe
that's why, that's why they traded for him. I mean, the Timberwolves coming into the season, I just didn't think they were going to be much better, because D'Angelo Russell, he can score the ball, but defensively there's just not much there. And even as a scorer, like, he's middle of the pack as far as a point guard. You know, he's nowhere near the elite level like a Lillard or a Steph Curry or anything like that. So he can score okay, but You know, he deserved his All-Star spot a couple of years ago. He played well in that great system in Brooklyn. But since then, he just, you know, he's going to be sort of passed around a little bit, I think, in the NBA, because he's just he's not super athletic. It doesn't defend, and he's, you know, he's just a scorer, which is fine. But the Timberwolves need something better, I think, at that position. So, I think overall, you know, Westbrook hasn't really sort of changed Washington around too much either out there. I mean, they're sort of still, they just made that trade just for the hell of it as well. That wasn't really like we need this because we're gonna vault ourselves up the standings. John Wall wanted out, and the contracts match, and it was like, all right, why not? Let's take him. So,
I would throw one other name in the mix, and Tass reminded me of sort of how poorly he's playing. Though he has built-in excuses, too, with obviously missing a bunch of games with COVID and the health and safety protocols. Michael Porter Jr. Has had a bad, bad year. And we were excited about Michael Porter Jr. being like the second or third star in the Nuggets, taking them into the next level. He has he started over the last six games for them and is playing like close to 30 minutes per game. He's averaging under 10 points per game, Lee. I mean, this guy shooting 35% from the floor, 24 from three. He was 0 for 8 versus the Celtics last night, so it even got somehow worse. That's disappointing. I mean, again, he's not yet an all-star like a D'Angelo Russell was or a Westbrook. I get that. Russell and Russell are great answers, but he's disappointed just because we all had a lot of high hope for him. And he has tons of time to figure it out. Don't get me wrong. And he's had a weird season, like I said, like a lot of people have. But that sucks. I mean, that guy should be scoring, like we've said, like 20 in his sleep, though, with his athleticism. But he's
I think he just is. He needs to grow up a little bit. Myself, I think he's just a young player trying to figure it out. Because you know, the criticisms I've had of him in the past is he just seems to be like, he's not really fully engaged in the team concept right now. He knows he's a scorer. He can score at any time. And he's just like, I just want to shoot and score some points here. I don't really care what the what role we're running here for the team. What are we running here? You know, if I get the ball, I'm shooting it. But that's a time thing, you know, because there's no doubt the talent is there. And Jamal Murray hasn't been all that good either.
No, he's gotten going a little bit.
He started to get it together a little bit, but he's had a slow start again. So, you know, the Nuggets in general outside of Jokic have been a little disappointing to this point.
Yeah, go watch the Jokic highlights in their loss to the Celtics last night. Oh. You want to talk about a guy not taking the same shot every possession. Holy crap, some of the shots he was hitting are unreal. You know, monster game. Obviously, it was all for naught in the loss, but go check those out. All right, final one here. I wanted to slip this in. According to BetMGM, one bettor in Las Vegas has placed a $10,000 wager on the Wizards to win the NBA championship this season. Somebody believes in Russell Westbrook, guys. This bet would win this person $5 million, all right? $10K to win $5 million. Now, Washington hasn't advanced past the second round of the postseason since 1979. So, look, if you're listening, Joe House, this is a bold bet, my man. Crazy stuff. But
Jack Kogod listens. He listens, and he's a Wizards fan.
Yeah, Jack Kogod, but he's a smart Wizards fan. I'm not sure he's putting down $10K on them to win the title. Forget the favorites, though, and forget the Wizards. Who's a better dark horse to try and win the 21 title, all right? If you hit up BetMGM, little title odds there, which I put the link in our rundown, guys, so you click through, I'm sure. Lee, get us started. Again, not the favorites, not the Wizards, but, you know, talk me into a team that I can make some coin on to win the title.
So how deep do you want to go on a dark horse here? I thought, well, okay, if you give me $100 and I put it on this team, I'll win $5,000 back.
Oh!
And I'm going with the Raptors. With the Raptors as far... there's lots of things that I like about the Raptors as a dark horse. This team has got super talent around it. It's deep. It's well coached. They've been there before. I just feel that Kyle Lowry as well could just drag this team. Like if you look at that Eastern Conference, I don't think they fear anybody. I mean, if Kevin Durant is playing and healthy for the Nets, I think the Nets are favorite. But outside of that, I think they can beat the Sixers. I think they can beat the Bucks. And the Nets just still have to get it together. This team hasn't played together. And then if you look in the Western Conference, I mean, you know, the Lakers are the favorite, deservingly so. But the Raptors beat the Warriors when they won it. And the Warriors were favorite in that series, even though the Raptors were at home. No Kevin Durant, of course. But I'm just saying, if you want a dark horse, I'd rather have $100 on the Raptors than the Wizards. I mean, I don't have $100 on anyone right now. Fair. But I mean, I was going to say the Jazz, but because they're at plus 1,200 right now. But I mean, that's still for me I mean, right now it's not the time to say they're a dark horse.
You're including them in the favorites right
exactly.
now? Yeah, that's yeah. pretty long odds, though, for yeah. them. Yeah. Okay, so Raptors plus 5,000 to win the title. Lee can squint and see a path for Lowry to take them to the promised land. That'd be incredible, Lee. I hope that happens. Trey, what's your answer for this one?
Come on, Lee. You got to go deeper than that. The Bulls are plus 50,000. You bet 100 bucks, you're winning $5 million? Wow. That's a great investment. As you know, the Bulls are back. When there's a Democrat in the White House, the Bulls win championships. Lock them in. I'm kidding. But the Jazz are a good one. You know, they've got, they're tied for the fifth best odds right now, which is a little bit too low. They've been the best team in the league so far. With Anthony Davis out, you know, there's certainly a path for the Jazz to at least get to the finals. We'll see what happens with Anthony Davis and how healthy the Lakers can be come playoff time. But I'm done ruling out the Jazz. As for actual, maybe dark horse sort of deep picks here, the Heat are plus 3,000. The Warriors are plus 6,600.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both good teams, and they're both teams that seem like they're going to be active at the trade deadline. If you're getting in now, the team might be different come, I don't know, when are we actually playing the finals? July? Is that right? The finals are in July, I think, this season. But both of those teams, you know, maybe it's Blake Griffin makes his way to the Warriors. Maybe it's Andre Drummond. Maybe the Heat figure out a Bradley Beal trade. Both of right. these teams could certainly improve in the next month or so. So those are decent dark horses.
Yep, that's where I went with this too, Trey. I had the Warriors written down. Plus 6,600. And like, even if they didn't make a move, and this is a long shot, but we do the classic in a series. Well, who's got the better player? Who's got the best player out there? I like them. I like their chances to advance. Well, I mean, you got Steph Curry playing the way he's playing at this point. You know, there are a few guys in the league where you can actually say, oh, that guy is better. So, again, could they win four rounds without Klay Thompson? But hey, who knows? Who knows? Could Klay come back lately and surprise
them?
Hey. Plus 6,600, sure, why not? If you got the coin, throw it down on that. Good luck. Let's hear from you guys. Check that out, the BetMGM title odds. And are you with this anonymous Wizards fan and have faith in them? Maybe they're making a big move. Maybe they're going to trade deal and they're like, wow, we're going to have all this depth. We're going to be amazing.
Instant rebuild.
Yeah.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, oh my God, so bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles, how's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No, I did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/NoDunks.
Lee, time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
What do you got, Lee?
here we are. You know, we've got some great fans out there and people who are really passionate about the show. And a few weeks ago, we were talking about our Clippers sign-off. And we were talking about, you know, what they were saying at the end of it.
Turn up, love you guys, awesome.
Yeah, and we were talking about turnips. And then someone got some artwork done of a turnip and then got themselves tattooed with that turnip. And it comes in from the life of Kate W. here. It says, shout out to No Dunks Inc. for the inspiration. Turnip, love you guys, awesome. And there is a basketball turnip.
That looks awesome.
Yeah, that is fire.
Now, Kate is not the first fan of ours to have a tattoo of something related to one of our works. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of others. This was from you can see my friend Old Eight Toes there.
Yep.
And then another longtime fan in Chicago last year has a tattoo of me. So this,
I love the lay on the couch pose.
Yeah, so do I. I love everything about both of those photos. So we got to get a photo of you with Kate now and the turnip, basketball turnip. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when we're allowed to see people again, I guess we'll try to make that happen somehow.
Yeah, but, and I gotta say, like, I don't want to rank them, but I do like Kate's the most because it's not your face on my body. It's her body, I should say. We gonna get some questions though. People, are, what is that? Why do you have that? And then you're talking about No Dunks. I love it. Great stuff.
Yeah, but the people in the stream team, they're saying even if you don't get No Dunks, which you know. Eventually, everybody's going to know about No Dunks on the entire globe, but right now that's not the case. But even if you don't, that's still a baller tattoo. I mean, you're going to have to explain that it is a turnip that's a basketball, but that thing's gorgeous. And, you know, there can't be a lot of turnip basketball tattoos out there, so one to three of a kind?
How far do you go with the explanation when people ask about that? Like, do you say, like, you gotta have a turnip that's a basketball, but then there's these Clipper bros that say turn up, and then these guys were joking about it's turnip. I don't know. But maybe you just say, it's a commemorative tattoo in honor of the No Dunk, so you just keep it simple.
It just gets weird when you start having to explain the Clipper Bros sign off because
you're not
saying turnip, you're saying turn up, but it's become turnip. So anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let us know how that goes, Kate. Let us know how that goes next time you're at a party or something and someone says, so explain that tattoo for me and see how it goes from there.
Yeah. It does. I love, again, just put it up one more time, JD, if you can, because I like that it's like, it's just enough of a turnip. You know
just
what I mean?
Enough of a turnip.
Yeah, like
mostly a basketball turnip.
Right. That's really well done. Kudos to your tattoo artist for that too. I think that's phenomenal work. I don't know a lot about the tattoo game, but that looks damn good to me. That's popping, I'll say that.
No
colors are fire there. Great stuff, Kate. Okay, pick 'em results from last night. It was the Nugget Celtics game. A lot of us took the Celtics. They were favored by 3.5. They had lost a couple. Denver was playing well. Look what's going on here. Tass took the Celtics. Lee took the Celtics. I took the Celtics. Got the victory. They pulled it off in the end. Quite easily covered. Trey, unfortunately, had the Nuggets. He had pre-swerved. He took Denver first. And drops Trey to 4-8. You got Tass and Lee 6-6, and I'm 7-5. So obviously, still fairly close. We got basically half the month still to go in. What are we in? February? Yeah. I was going to say March for a second. But tonight's game, there's a lot of games on. Oh, boy. There's a whole lot of games on. Jazz versus the Clippers is the one we're picking from. Utah, rolling, of course, 119-20. Favored by 3.5. That's it. On the road. Trey, get a start. Actually, Lee, get a start tonight. What do you got?
Yeah, the Jazz are just due for a stinker, but I like 3.5 points in LA. I'm not sure. Paul George is out. Not sure about Kawhi. I'll take the Jazz to keep rolling.
This would be a bold pick, I gotta say, for somebody to go against the Jazz right now. To not roll with the team that hot. Trey, are you gonna do it? Are you going Utah?
No, I'm playing some horns tonight, Skeetsy. Gotta go with the Jazz. They're a little bit better rested. The no Paul George factor. Now that you're saying it, it feels too much like a Jazz. Maybe I should swerve. No, sticking with the Jazz.
Nice. Let's find out who Tess is.
This game's on League Pass. Let's get it on national TV. Let's do a little flexing. I think the Clippers will keep it close. They're a pretty good team at guarding the three-point line. 3.5 points. Kawhi Leonard should be back. I'm taking the Clip.
Wow, okay. I was going to do that swerve, but I won't anymore. I'm sort of happy I went to Tass there first. I'll take the Jazz, but Tass is the one swerving. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. So he's got the Clippers to keep it close enough. We have the Jazz to win by 4 or more points on the road. All right. Fun show. Thanks to everybody joining us live on the stream team. Email us your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com, because we have a new Beach Steppin' podcast coming later today, 3 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. You can join us live if you want to. And if not, just listen to the podcast later in the day. It will go to wherever you listen to No Dunks, wherever you subscribe. It'll automatically update in your feed. And if you do listen on Apple Podcasts, I don't say this often, please leave us that 5-star rating and review. Help your boys out over on Apple Podcasts. Appreciate you. Like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Grab your No Dunks merch at NoDunks.com. Subscribe to The Athletic already, TheAthletic.com/NoDunks, $3.99 a month. And if you're out there and you decide to get a No Dunks tattoo, let us know, and we will absolutely show it here on the show, for sure. Doesn't have to be Lele's face. I'm waiting for my first Trey Kirby tattoo from the world out there. I think one's coming. I mean, you already got a hoodie saying "Ho Ho Ho Dunks."
That's right.
Yeah, so maybe like
Sally Kirby. Sally Kirby's gonna get one.
My mom does already have a tattoo.
Oh, does she?
With a 3 and a Z, Trey and Mackenzie.
Ah, look at that. Right. Look at that. Mm-hmm. True love. All right, so yeah, go get a tattoo of No Dunks, guys, and let us know. We'll be back later today. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, you turn up for basketball, get a turn up basketball tattoo.
Embrace the day, people.
You could stay. Ooh, every day. And I'd be happy every minute.